All right. So this is going to be a Bible study. This is going to be a topical Bible study. This is not original with me. This is not the concept, I should say, is not original with me. I went to a place one time that said, well, preachers should never preach on topics. He should always preach expository. But I think that expository preaching is definitely important.
Right.
But the Bible is also filled with topics.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes we can go through life and we can think what we know what the Bible says about a certain topic and about something, when really we don't know. And so this is a Bible study. It's called What Does the Bible Say? And I don't know, I gave you a study sheet this evening. I don't want that to intimidate you. We will not finish this today. This will be something that we'll finish maybe over the next coming weeks. But you can hold on to that and take notes with that. And so what we'll do is we're going to answer some questions about what does the Bible say about our subject tonight. And then you'll see on the left it says the Bible says. That's where you write the reference. I'll give you the reference and we'll turn there. We are going to use our Bibles quite a bit tonight. And then over on the right, we'll see from that reference, from this we learn. And we'll make some points about those things. Again, this is something that the pastor I grew up under had been doing for 35 years now. It's kind of a similar concept. These notes are my own. They're not his, but the concept is very similar to something he's done. And if this is something that you like, then I really enjoy teaching this way. And so maybe we'll have to do this again sometime. If this is something you enjoy, you can feel free to let me know after the service, okay? So tonight we're going to answer the question, what does the Bible say about serving the Lord? What does the Bible say about serving God? You know, I'm just going to level with y'all. I'm going to just be completely honest with you. We need some help here in the church. We need some help. I've talked a lot about vision and a lot about goals. And I know that everybody in this room would probably share that same vision. And they would love to see these things happen. But we need some help. You know, there's only so much manpower that I am able to do and that my wife is able to do. And we need some help. And so as I was thinking about it, serving God, serving the Lord, I started thinking about what does the Bible really say about serving the Lord? People have some different ideas about what serving God looks like. People have different ideas and different opinions on how best to serve the Lord or even if a Christian should serve the Lord. There are Christians out there that think that once they're saved, God has done all the work for them and that they are just free to live their lives, footloose and fancy free, so to speak. Is that really what the Bible says? So we're going to take a look and see exactly what the Bible teaches about these things. So our first thing, are Christians commanded to serve the Lord? Are Christians commanded to serve the Lord? Go to the book of Deuteronomy, if you would. Deuteronomy and chapter number 13. Deuteronomy and chapter number 13. You know, is this really a commandment for Christians? Certainly, I think we could all agree that serving God is a good thing. I think we could all agree that serving God is a very noble thing. But is it a command for the Christian? Is this really something, or is this one of those things that it's good to do, but God gives us a little bit of freedom and a little bit of choice in this matter? Well, what does the Bible say? Well, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 13, look at verse 4. That'll be your first point on what the Bible says. Deuteronomy 13, 4. This is a command Moses is giving to the people of Israel. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall, what's that next little word there say?
Serve
him and cleave unto him. Understand, I am not saying tonight that the church has replaced Israel. That is not what I am saying at all. Israel is still God's chosen people.
That's right.
But understand, we as the church, we as Christians, we have been engrafted into God's family. We are part of God's family. We are God's people. And so understand, the things that were written in the Old Testament were written for our example. For our admonition. We don't throw the Old Testament out because we're saved, because we live in the church age. We learn from it and we glean from it. And what we see here, Moses is telling the people, he's saying, look, you are God's people. You belong to God. And because of this, it says, ye shall walk after the Lord your God. In other words, you ought to follow him. If you claim to be a follower of Christ, then you have to be a follower.
Right.
And followers follow.
Yeah.
That makes sense? I know. You heard some deep theological preaching here tonight. Followers follow. You know, there's a lot of Christians that like to say, well, I follow Jesus. But if you look at their lives, they're nothing like how Jesus lived.
Right.
They're nothing like Jesus. If you're really going to follow Christ, you ought to follow in his steps. That you ever read that famous book, In His Steps? Has anybody heard of this book? Has anybody read this book? Okay, I'm glad to see. It's a work of fiction. It's a story about a church that just decided one day, you know what, we're going to do. We're going to take that phrase, what would Jesus do? Yeah. You saw that real popular phrase in the 90s. They'd put it on them little jelly bracelets. What, WWJD, what would Jesus do? They decided to take that literally. What would Jesus do? And in every situation, they asked themselves, how would Jesus respond? How would Jesus act? How would Jesus talk? And the book goes on to talk about the great revival that happened in their church. There was this excitement. People were getting right with God, and the church was growing. And you know what the sad part about that book is? Is that it's a work of fiction.
Right.
It was a story that somebody imagined, that somebody had made up, because the truth of the matter is people don't live that way. The Bible says if we love him, we ought to walk even as he walked, in his steps, in his footsteps. It says, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him. This doesn't mean to be afraid of him. This means to have that healthy reverence and respect for him. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school. If you belong to God, you ought to have a respect for him. Amen? So you ought to walk after the Lord your God, fear him and keep his commandments, and obey his voice. That makes sense. When God speaks, we ought to obey. And then it says, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. So I understand what Moses is saying. He's given a big list of things. You belong to God. So that means the following. You ought to walk after him. You ought to obey his commands. Listen to his voice. You ought to respect him and revere him. And one of the things that he puts in that list is you ought to serve him. So number one, from this we learn, serving God is part of our relationship with God. Serving God is part of your relationship with God. Whenever we talk about a relationship with God, sometimes we think about going into our prayer closet, spending 10, 15 minutes a day in prayer, opening up God's word and reading. But just as much as reading your Bible is a part of your relationship with God, just as much as spending time with God in prayer is serving God. Serving God is very much a part of your relationship with God. So number one, Are Christians commanded to serve the Lord? Serving God is part of our relationship with God. What else does the Bible say? Well, number two, let's go to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. That'll be number two in your What Does the Bible Say? Mark chapter 10. And it'll be verses 43, and we'll read a few verses here. Mark chapter 10, look at verse 43. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your, what's that next word? Minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. And here's the verse I really want to focus on. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And I want you to understand what's happening here. Jesus has his disciples, and his disciples ask him, Jesus, who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom? When your kingdom comes to pass, who's going to be the greatest? Now, we like to look at people's talents. And we look at and say, wow, they're just the greatest. They're so talented. Or we might look at someone's pocketbook, how much money's in their bank account. And we say, wow, that person's really great. They've got it made in the shade. But God looks at greatness a lot differently than we do. God looks at greatness in kind of an upside down way of thinking. The greatest of all shall be your minister, he says, shall be your servant. And then he says in verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Who's greater than God? No one. Okay? Is Jesus God? Yes, he is the Son of Man. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. So understand what Jesus is saying here. He's saying the whole reason for him coming was for him to serve mankind. How? By giving his life a ransom for many. He was serving mankind by giving us grace, by giving us mercy, and offering himself as a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus was a servant. Understand? And so what Jesus is saying is, hey, there's no one greater than God, and he's a servant. I'm a servant. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you ought to walk in my steps and serve. Be a servant. Be a minister. So from this we learn, number two, serving is part of following Jesus' example. Serving is part of following Jesus' example. Which, by the way, every Christian ought to do. Right. Remember what we said? He has to walk even as he walked. If we're going to follow in Jesus' footsteps, if we're going to truly be a follower of Christ, that means being a servant, being a minister. That word minister doesn't mean the guy that wears the backwards collar and goes to funerals and things like that. A minister is someone who serves. I've been called a minister, you know. It's a little Catholic for me, but, you know. But truthfully, if you are a servant of God, you are a minister.
Right. Right.
And I'm not the only one here in this room tonight.
Right.
I look out into these people and I see ministers all around me. And so understand, serving is part of following Jesus' example. When asking the question, are Christians commanded to serve the Lord? Are we commanded to serve? Well, we're commanded to be like Christ. And part of being like Christ is being a servant. So number two, serving is part of following Jesus' example. Number three, are Christians commanded to serve the Lord? What does the Bible say? Go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Now, I want to pull something out of here. An application here. I'm going to read a story that Jesus is telling. Matthew chapter 25. We'll begin reading in verse 14. And I may just have to give you the abridged version of it. So we'll begin reading verse 14. Jesus is giving this parable. And he says, verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." So I want you to understand what's happened here so far. This man, he owns a piece of property. He's a landowner. He's a landlord, and he has quite a bit of money, and he's going on a journey. And he says, "I'm going to be right back." But he's got 3 servants. And he says, "While I am gone, I am going to give you a certain amount of money." Now, this money is not for them to spend on whatever they want. This is not to be spent on themselves. This money is given to them. They are called stewards. Now, a steward is somebody who is in charge of someone else's resources. Can I give you an example? I used to be a high school teacher. And one of the things that we did every year was my wife and I took the senior class on their senior trip up to Tennessee. And that was quite a challenge. It was quite an adventure. But then when we found out that we were going to have a baby, we started wondering, what were we going to do about our son? He can't come with us to Tennessee. He's way too little. And especially in a van full of seniors in high school, okay? It can get pretty rowdy in there. So what do we do? Well, my parents, they flew in from Texas, and they stayed at our house, and they took care of Aaron for us while we went away on our trip. My parents were stewards, because not only were they in charge of watching my house, making sure that the trash got to the curb, they were taking care of my house. They were also taking care of my most precious possession, and my son. And so understand that at that time, if he had a medical emergency, I gave them full freedom to go get him treated, to go seek medical attention, because they were stewards. Everybody got this concept? So here what's happening is this landowner, he's going to go away on this journey, and he gives 3 of his servants, 3 stewards, some money. And he gives them different amounts, and he says, "I want you to use this money while I'm gone." And so, again, I'll just go through the rest of this parable here, but what happens is the first steward takes that money, and he puts it to work. You know, and he takes that money, and he uses it to make more money. And when the landowner comes back, he has doubled the money that was given to him. And the landowner says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Hey, he did a great job. Now, the next guy didn't get quite as much. But he took what money was left to him, and he went out to the markets, and he doubled it. Now, he didn't make as much as the first guy, but guess what? The landowner comes by and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But the third steward, he only got 1 talent, one little coin of money. And so what he does is he doesn't want to lose it. So he digs a hole in the ground, he hides it. And then he waits for the landowner to come back. He digs it back up and he gives it back. Now, the whole reason why the man gave his servants those talents of money was so that they could go and make money, right? Did the third steward do his job? No. He was given something. He was given an opportunity and he squandered it. And he gets reprimanded, and this is a picture here. Now, you hear a lot of times This is used in terms of money, but understand, God left us here for a purpose.
Right.
When God saved you, when Jesus saved you, he didn't take you right to heaven right away. Okay, we're all still here.
Yeah.
But he left us here for a purpose. And you know, the Lord gives us all talents. Maybe not talents of money, but the Lord gives us all sorts of talents and abilities. Some people just have the natural ability to play any instrument. I envy that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can play just three songs maybe on the piano. I can play my nose, I can pick it, and I can blow it. So I can play my nose. Some people have management skills. Some people that all the numbers just, that's all they think of is in terms of numbers. And they may not be musical at all, but they can see that they can see how everything fits together in their minds. Some people are just natural born organizers. Some people are the life of the party. They're the ones you want to invite over when you just want to have a good time. There are some people that they've made it their personal mission. They're going to win the world for Christ all on their own. And they're going to go out and evangelize just pretty much all day. They're just a walking billboard for Christ. Everybody's got different talents and abilities. Understand, my talents and abilities are not the same as yours. But that doesn't make mine any better than yours. They're just different. Everybody serves a different purpose. But understand what's happening here. God left us here with all sorts of talents and abilities to do something with them.
Right.
If we just sit on our hands and do nothing with the talents and abilities that God has given to them, to us, then we are wasting resources.
Right.
Do you know, if you are breathing, that's a resource. And if you are breathing here, God is not through with you.
Amen.
God wants to use you. I don't know how he wants to use you. That's where you've got to know about your talents and your abilities that God has given to you. Number three, are Christians commanded to serve the Lord? From this we learn Christians are expected to use the resources they've been given to further the kingdom of God. I'll repeat that because I know that's a mouthful. Christians are expected to use their resources to further the kingdom of God. I'm not just talking about money, though there is that application. Sometimes that's what people have. Maybe that's what the Lord has blessed you, and we ought to give as it's been given unto us. But maybe you don't have that big bank account like you'd like to have, but you've got time. Maybe you've got more time than somebody else, and you can use that time. Or maybe you've got that sort of personality that's just likable, and you can start up a conversation and start steering it towards salvation. Hey, Christians are expected to use the resources that they've been given to further the kingdom of God. So I think if we look at all three of those things, are Christians commanded to serve the Lord? I think the answer is a yes. Yes, we are. Number two, what is serving the Lord? I mean, what does it mean? What does it look like? What is serving the Lord? Well, go to Colossians 3:17. That'll be our first one. Colossians chapter 3. And look at verse 17. What is serving the Lord? What does it look like to serve the Lord? Number one, Colossians 3:17. Paul is giving all sorts of instruction for these Christians, whom he had never met, by the way. Understand, if Paul gave instruction to people like the Corinthians, people that he was familiar with, and he knew he could give some pretty specified instruction. But understand, here in Colossians, he's giving this to people he's never met. So reckon that means it's good for everybody. Don't you reckon that this sort of instruction, he is, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander? Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You can underline that phrase, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Number one, what does serving the Lord look like? From this we learn, number one, serving God is doing all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Doing all things, whether it's in word, in how you speak. You know, you can serve by speaking. The Bible uses that term, let your speech be always with salt, that it may, what's that next word? Minister grace unto the hearers. You know, some people, when they speak, when they open their mouth, they are just a drain. Every time they open their mouth, you walk away from that conversation 3 inches shorter, because they're just a drain. They drain your energy. But there are some people, after you walk away from them, you feel taller, because they edify and they build up. That's serving. That's ministering. So whatsoever you do in word or in deed, the things that you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to serve the Lord, a really great way to do it is to go about your normal life, but do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, what is serving the Lord? Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy and chapter number 1. 1 Timothy 1 and look at verse 12. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And I have to be honest with you, that is 2 Timothy, not 1 Timothy. I turned to the wrong spot. But hey, that's a great verse, and you ought to have that memorized. 1 Timothy 1 and verse, I knew as soon as I started reading this, I was in trouble. Here we go. 1 Timothy 1 and chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I want you to understand what Paul is saying to Timothy here. He's saying, I am so thankful. There is such a blessing being in the ministry. Can I tell you, being in the ministry is such a high calling. It's a higher calling than being the president of the United States.
Right.
There's no higher calling. And Paul is saying, I am so thankful that God put me into the ministry. And in this context, he's talking about giving the gospel to others. He's saying to Timothy, look, I've been imprisoned and I've been beaten and I have been mistreated and blasphemed, but I'm so thankful that I get the opportunity to give the gospel to others. You know, that's mankind's greatest need.
Right.
Look, feeding the poor is a great thing, but people will get hungry again. People, you know, giving clothes to people who need it, That's a good thing, but you understand those clothes will get old and they'll just need more, or they might outgrow them, or something. But mankind's greatest need is Jesus.
Amen.
And so being in the ministry in this context here, Paul is saying, I'm so thankful that God put me into the ministry of reaching out into the world and telling others about the gospel. From this we learn, number two, what is serving the Lord? Serving God is giving the gospel to others. You know, that's our business here as Bible Baptist Church. I want to see you grow. Don't get me wrong. I want to see you grow spiritually and in your love and appreciation and in your relationship with Jesus. But the great purpose of Bible Baptist Church is to see souls saved.
Right.
And everything we do around here is for that purpose. That's why I'm going through the headache of insurance and the title so we can get this van, so we can get people who've never heard the gospel to a place where they can hear the gospel. So that's why we're going through all of these this restructuring and this with the children's program, because we want to see children come to know Jesus
right.
as their Savior. And not just children, but teenagers and their families, adults, and even those who are more mature. Understand, they're on their way out.
Yeah.
We live in Florida. I've heard people call Florida God's waiting room. Amen?
Yeah.
They're on their way out. These are the people that need to hear the gospel too. All ages
yeah.
need to hear the gospel. It's such a great need. It's the greatest need of mankind. And so from this we learn, serving God is giving the gospel to others, reaching others with the gospel. Number three, and this might have to be our last one for the night, but go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And look at verse 43. Matthew chapter 25, verse 43. Jesus is speaking. He says, I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place here. It's a little further up. Verse 35. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? Understand what he's saying? He's saying that one day he's going to say to his children, You fed me when I was hungry, and you gave me water when I was thirsty, and you gave me clothing, and you came and visited me when I was sick, and you did all these things. And they're going to ask, Jesus, when did we do these things? I don't know about you, but I've never fixed Jesus a meal.
Right.
I've never had Jesus come over to my house. Okay? I've never gone and visited Jesus. I've never done any of those things to Jesus himself. So what's he talking about? Well, he says in the next verse, verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Understand what Jesus is saying here. He says, you served someone else who was hungry, and you fed them. And that's the same as you feeding me. Someone else was thirsty, or they needed clothes, and you gave them water, you gave them clothes, and it's like you did that to me. From this we learn, number three, serving God is serving others. Serving God is serving others. You want to know, how can I get involved, preacher? How can I go out and serve God? Do I need to go to Bible college? Do I need to go to seminary? Do I need to get some online degree? No. You simply need, if you want to serve God, you just serve others. Because when you do it under the least of these, understand what it means, the least of these. Not just the big, important people whom we think deserve it. But the people that society deems their throwaways, those that don't matter. Jesus says, when you serve those people, it's like you served me. And it's like we said, mankind's greatest need, how can you serve man the most, is by bringing them to the bread of life. That living water, Jesus Christ. Hey, yes, we are commanded as Christians to serve God. And we'll finish these over the next coming weeks. And it really is my desire that over the next several weeks that you'll get a burden in your heart to serve God. We need some help. We're putting out the call. And it's not our call, but it's the Lord's call. Will you answer? I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes.